TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to another Film Course TV Corner podcast. This time it's for Black Mirror, season 3. With me I have Greg.
Hello, hello.
And we're just going to do a quick, like, season overview and talk about what we loved, what we hated, what we would have done differently. You know, it's not too late to change the future.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, overall...
Did you... I'm curious what your connection to Black Mirror was, because it's sort of... I feel like it's something that snuck up on a lot of people. I think people who were fans early on got super excited about Netflix picking it up, but not everyone really knew what it was. You know, sort of like it was a little bit of a cult following, I'd say, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I first saw that, the first episode with the prime minister who has to basically have sex with that pig, I was like, is this the whole series? Like, I was really confused. But I guess if you make it through that episode, it shows that you're, like, willing to, you know, have an open mind. And then, I don't know, I just really loved the themes. I loved how close to home everything felt. Although it was kind of like this dystopian future a little bit, it still felt very grounded. So I think that's what really drew me to it. I was a huge fan of, like, you know, like, 1984, like, Brave New World, Fahrenheit 451. So I really like the idea of, like, Big Brother's watching you, and then in all these different kind of ways.
Yeah, totally. And I think what really stuck out originally with it is it's sort of, or at least I think the best episodes hit that sweet spot where the technology, like, the world isn't too far in the future.
Yeah.
But it's obviously far enough where it's something that, you know, it's different than what we're dealing with. But it's sort of like you can see the plausibility of these things happening, right? Of a natural sort of progression based on today's world. So I mean, I saw it, I think a couple years ago, I'd say like 4 years ago, in Canada, because Canadians were, you know, they're getting more British TV in general, I think. And they're like, yeah. Oh, you got to see it. And it was at the time, I think it was only the first 3 episodes. And then obviously by season 2, they started getting more, like Donald Gleason was in it, and started getting a little bit more celebrity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was super pumped for it. I don't know how you feel about the whole season 3. I'd say I have pretty mixed emotions on it. I think overall, compared to the first 2 seasons, I'm a little disappointed. Where did you fall on it?
Ooh, okay. Well, I want to, like, kind of, like, to your point about, like, how, like, you know, like, there's a lot of celebrities in this season especially, it's really star-studded. And I found that although it was cool to see, you know, some familiar faces, it was also kind of distracting at times. And I felt like what I really liked about, like, the earlier seasons is that these were kind of, you know, like, I don't want to say, like, they were, like, newcomers. So we really felt like we were able to just watch and experience it versus just, like, comparing this person's performance to all their previous roles. Like, in the first one with Bryce Dallas Howard, I was just like, wow, like, I couldn't stop thinking about Jurassic Park, like, the whole time. And I was just, like, really trying to get into it, but overall, I feel like it's, a lot of the themes were kind of recycled. When you go with the angle of, like, how technology is, like, changing how we interact with each other and how it's taking over our lives, I mean, after so many episodes, there's only so much you can do with that theme, I think. I mean, without it...
No, I mean, yeah, it's the biggest indicator to me, though, that the season was maybe didn't work as well was just... And it's, like, a really basic thing, but the episodes are 60 minutes. And I think it's, you know, these kind of stories... Because there's sort of only, as you're saying, you know, so many different ways to take paranoia of technology. Mm-hmm. 43 minutes is a really nice, amount of time to tell one of these stories.
Yeah.
60 started to feel a little fat. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, because it starts detracting from the sort of the point of the episode. And you know, these things are like, they're like essays, right? On the future. I mean, they always have a very clear point, right? And it's an indictment of a very specific technology and how we're using it. And you combine the fact that it's celebrities with 60-minute episodes, and I think there's a lot of sort of fan service-y things that kind of pulls away from the themes. But I don't know. Maybe we should go through them one by one.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's pop into the episode 1, Nosedive. Basically, just in short, everyone's rating each other, and you want to hang out with the highest-rated people. So basically, it's like literally like, quantifying your popularity. Mm-hmm. As far as just art direction, it really reminded me of like Edward Scissorhands, the way how everyone's wearing like pastels and it's very like clean and crisp and like sterilized, you know, and everyone is always constantly like trying to present this like, you know, persona of like perfection in a way. What did you think of the episode? Like, what would you rate it?
You know, it was my, that one was my least favorite And I know that they're trying to go for comedy. Rashida Jones and Mike Schur from Parks and Rec wrote it. And I think it's the only episode that wasn't written by Charlie Brooker, but I think the basic problem of it is I like the theme, obviously, right? Because it is it's a really prevalent part of today's world. I don't think they got the rules right in their world, you know? Like it was hard for me to believe that someone would have a lower rating and would not be able to rent a certain car at all, you know, like, or that they would lose their job or something, you know what I mean? Like they wouldn't be allowed into
Yeah,
the building.
that's what I also felt was kind of weird. I mean, it's hard to, I guess, establish a lot of world building and like without a lot of like heavy exposition, which I think they really tried to stay away from as much as possible, which made some things like that kind of confusing. It does seems like once you like lose your you bump down at any point, your life's over because it just starts this like snowball effect, like the main character.
Yeah, but are you, I mean, is that government sanctioned or like why? You know, it would have made more sense to me if let's say there's a normal kind of way of living and then there's people who use a certain celebrity from high ratings to get sort of better things. I mean, effectively like what it actually is today, right? Which is like you can be an Instagram celebrity or you can be a regular person, right? Or you can be a regular person with some Instagram celebrity who gets like some kind of fun perks, right? And sort of that on I thought the episode was gonna be that on steroids, basically, right? Where she wants something that like the brother decided he doesn't want, and maybe the world that they live in caters more towards people like her, but you can be normal if you want to, right? And the way the episode works, I don't know the point, like the purpose of the brother.
Oh, wait. Oh my God.
I don't know
That
what the
was like,
fuck he's, you
okay.
know.
That was actually a big issue I had episode. I really hate the idea of the cliche, like the really like kind of like, I don't want to say ditzy sister, but like the woman who's like cares so much about that. It would have been great if he had actually been the one who was obsessive about it. Also, like to your point, it's kind of like the only person we saw besides the other guy who was in jail at the end, the truck driver. She had apparently, fallen in the lowest form of ranking and now has to prescribe to the sort of like derelict lifestyle, which I don't get, but yet she still has a feed. So I don't understand. Like, if you're not on it anymore, then why is she still like posting like on social media?
Yeah, it's really messy, and then I think you know that the ending to me is that really the worst thing about this society is that people don't curse at each other and have like real moments of outburst. I mean, it just felt like a really sort of cheap point to like what's possibly a real problem, right, in
Exactly.
society and growing, which is that like people are being unfairly judged, right? And they're being judged before they do anything based on their social personality versus who they actually are, which I mean that's a real thing, right? There's bullying happens at you know with children like with younger ages. Socially it does affect you know certain elements. I mean I think depending, but you know it's like still at this point connected to certain industries really, but if you want to be in them, yeah, it's certainly, you know, having a lively social feed is going to help or could hurt you. So this idea that like if she just needs to be honest for the first time, and the way she manifests that is to just yell at this guy back and forth. It was just like too jokey and weird. I don't know. It didn't land for me
No,
at
yeah,
all.
for me, I didn't feel jokey. It felt like, I don't know, like weird. It felt uncomfortable and like out of place. I took it maybe as like maybe that's when you become like an internet troll in a way, where you just start spewing like really unnecessarily like hurtful things because they didn't even know each other. Like it would have been more poignant if it had been like her yelling at someone she actually knew or really interacted with, which in a way she did at the wedding, when she had her big blow up. But it just, this is a random person that we just saw for like 30 seconds, so it's hard for us to, I don't know, just it felt weird.
Well, you know, it connects her to him in this way that, right, even though they're in their cell, they're actually more free than other people, right?
Oh,
Which
I wait,
is,
like moving from their like figurative cell into a literal cell, they're now more free.
yeah, she can now say what she wants. But I mean, but then, like, what does that mean? So she needs to go and be a truck driver going forward? I mean, like, what are her options, right? Is that like, you know, it reminded me of like in, I mean, you mentioned Fahrenheit 451, but the lesson from that is if you're gonna choose to not be part of this society, you have to go live in the forest,
Exactly,
right? Memorize a
exactly.
book and go. And here, I didn't know what is the choice over the society. Because, like, the brother seems okay, and he doesn't seem preoccupied with it. So how does he get through living normally, you know, in this world? So it's a lot of problems, a lot
Yeah.
of problems with it. But I mean, visually, yeah, really nice, and it definitely, you know, the production value is a lot stronger than in previous seasons, you know. So
What would you rate it out of 5 stars?
I'd give it like a two.
Two, Jesus. Going
Yeah,
in
yeah.
hard. Okay. I'd say three, just because I really loved how terribly awkward that wedding scene was when she came in just like covered in mud. That was just so painful and so well done. But yeah, I mean, there were a bunch of issues with it. But speaking of things with issues, let's go into episode two. We have Playtest. We have an American tourist who is his account somehow gets hacked into. Someone steal, you know, fraud happens. He loses all of his money and needs to make money to get back to America, basically. So he signs up for this video game trial. I liked the premise of where it was going. There's a lot of games like Silent Hill or like Until Dawn, where they kind of like learn the player's behavior and try and, you know, get scarier as you play the game more. But basically, this episode was just Inception, but like the horror movie version.
I mean, it's so one thing to note about this season is I think the intention was to make every episode like its own genre. So the first one was a comedy,
Oh,
the second
yeah.
one's a horror, the third one is a thriller, fourth one's a love story, the fifth one is like a war movie, and the last one's a detective story, basically, right? So it tries to fit in the Black Mirror premise and, you know, across different genres. And so this one is obviously a horror, and it was cool to see what was his name, Wyatt Russell. It's Kurt Russell's son playing the guy, because I think he's got a lot of his dad's
Yeah.
charm, maybe not all of it, but he's fun to watch. It was it, this one was fun, but it was kind of forgetful, you know, like it doesn't actually stick with
It
me.
didn't feel like anything meant anything at the end. I don't know. Like I wanted more of like they didn't want to finish it exactly. Just like, oh, he died, ended there. And we really don't get.
Yeah, it was a little bit of like and then I woke up kind of
Yeah.
ending, you
Yeah.
know. And I tend to think those are kind of FUs to viewers, because I mean, nothing you're watching happened, right? And so especially when she says, like, you know, he was his like his brain fries like 1 second into the thing, so literally nothing happened, or like everything we watched was supposedly 1 second in his brain, but it was a full 60 minutes of my time, you know.
Well,
So
it's like the whole thing happened.
so I would have liked a little bit of a
Yeah,
payoff, you
exactly. Just
know.
like the whole thing that we just watched happened with no consequence.
And you know, and that one, like speaking to the sort of the runtime of these, that one really struck out to me as like, we don't need the whole lead up to this episode, because I don't really know what the purpose of it being that his mother kills him at the end there, effectively, right? What is it trying to say about his family life? Why we had to have that whole elaborate setup? You know, you could have started it with
Yeah.
him signing up to do this thing, which I think in 43 minutes is what they would have done. But they figured, hey, we've got Wyatt Russell, and we have to give him a little bit more of a backstory, which really never
That
pays
yeah, that
off.
whole actually the whole scene with him with that girl that he meets could have never have happened. He could have just like gotten to the ATM, not had money. We get that he's traveling. Here's his ad. Like, yeah, we could have skipped 20 minutes of
Yeah,
this.
and then when they bring her back, that turns out that's an illusion too. Yeah, and you know, like Evan, who unfortunately was supposed to join us but can't because of technical issues, he had a fair point, which is like, what are we even saying about the technology here? Because yeah, don't connect video games to your brain. I mean, that's like I don't know who would be necessarily arguing the counter of it. And I
Exactly.
think what, you know, Black Mirror works best is when it has a technology that sort of
Seems like a good idea.
seems like a good idea. Yeah, and it's just sort of either executed incorrectly or like human base instincts use it wrongly, right? And here it just, I mean, the company is wrong, and then they kill him. So it's there's not a lot of thematic like
I
intrigue
just
to it.
feel like a company that is that technologically like advanced would not have their entire system crash because someone's cell phone rang. That just seems crazy. That seemed the most annoying part of it, which is like that was the reason.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, you can get around that by, you know, I mean, I think they kind of do it by saying, you know, it's in the testing mode, but yeah, I mean, it's just weak. How did you maybe we can jump to episode 3. What did you think of that one?
I'd probably give this one 2 stars.
Okay. See, I'd give it a 3 just for like basic enjoyment of a guy in a haunted house.
You're a man of simple pleasures. Okay, well, speaking of simple pleasures, let's move into episode 3, Shut Up and Dance. I did really appreciate the twist at the end of this episode because the entire time I was like, why is this kid so scared? Like, if someone videotaped me masturbating, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to rob a bank over this. Just leak it. Whatever.
Agreed. Yeah, I think, and especially when he's sitting there in the, you know, they do something kind of clever about that when he's in the car with him, with Bronn.
With Bronn.
Yeah, Jerome a couple Flynn. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there's a lot of Game of Thrones people in this.
Yeah, Jerome Flynn is yelling at him, and sort of you kind of go, okay, I guess he's making an interesting point. Like it's like I could buy that a kid thinks that his world is going to be
well,
over.
Well, initially,
right?
When he gets in the car,
in that moment. I mean, up to that point, not really, right? Not well, up to that point, not really. But in that moment, when he's saying that. I started
when
to
he
buy
first
it,
got in the car and he was like, what are you in for? You know, why basically are you being blackmailed? And he tells him, he's like, what the fuck are you in this car for then? Like he just at first is like, he has to basically like really stretch it to make this kid rob this bank. Like he has to make like, you know, just like really trying to make a mountain out of a molehill for this situation. When deep down he also knew like it's not that big of a deal.
Well, he bullies him. Yeah. He totally bullies him into it. But yeah, the whole, I mean, I even turned to the friend I was watching with and I was like, I don't know if I would do, you know, even the first step of what they asked, just out of, you know, being caught jerking off on screen. Like, you know, it'd be embarrassing, but I'd probably send an email to everyone ahead of time saying, hey, let's just,
exactly.
just delete anything you get. This is what happened, you know.
What did you...
If you're curious, I guess go
ahead.
What
did you think about like the whole hackers like telling everyone anyway at the end?
I like so to me this one was the most sort of a classic of a Black Mirror episode, you know, because it's like it's got a very very clear theme to it. It has this sort of this sense of things being predestined almost, you know, like it's unavoidable. Everything is inevitable. You know, the technology is inevitable, which I really liked. And yeah, I mean, that twist in it really really sold me on it, you know, because then it, you know, you think back to like a really harmless scene like in the beginning when he sees a little girl and she drops her toy and he gives it to her, and then it suddenly and it makes that scene, you know, so revolting afterwards, right? So they planned it out pretty well, I thought.
There's a line that actually Hector, played by Jerome Flynn, says, "There's no cure for the internet." And I thought that was more of a statement, not about, like, the fact that the internet is evil, that it brings out these, like, dark desires out of people. Like, a lot of people now that, like, cheat in relationships use the internet, or people who watch, like, you know, child pornography, like, use the internet. Like, a lot of these, like, desires wouldn't be as fed into or as easily fed into as they are now with all the stuff available. So I feel like that, I mean, going back to also the other woman who was blackmailed, she was Asian, apparently said racist emails. It was an email, you know? If email wasn't a thing, you know, how would this, you know, I'm just saying, like, it really is a platform and, like, a channel for these kind of...
But do you think they were criticizing the internet?
No, I'm just, I think it's just, a channel to get, it's just a delivery system for things. It's a reflection of yourself. And it's basically, if you're going to be a pedophile, you're going to have these have these feelings, but the internet makes it possible for you to explore them virtually.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. And that's sure. It's all about, I mean, your digital self. I mean, all of these, I think in some way deal with your digital or your sort of, your virtual self versus your actual self. The central question behind that is, are you your actions or are you your desires, right? Mm-hmm. And because, you know, he at this point is not a pedophile as far as we know, right? He is someone who watches kiddie porn. And maybe because he does watch kiddie porn, he'll never actually rape a child. Who knows, right? Like, I don't, you know, maybe that would be his feeling on it. I mean, it's sort of like the idea that like people with rape fantasies say, well, yeah, it's my fantasy. I enact it out in a safe space so that, you know, nothing happens. But then, like, are you your actions or are you your desires then, right? Like, are, you know, if you have the desires to rape, is that the same or should it be judged the same?
That's exactly it. But it also,
someone who does, right?
Get into. You can so easily feed this fantasy. And maybe, to your point, we don't know if it's more dangerous that you can do this or less dangerous. I mean, I don't really know the statistics on, like, you know, healthier for you to control your impulses by doing it virtually versus, you know, letting them compound inside of you and then eventually actually hurting someone. I mean, but overall, that he, you know, in this one instance of, like, him watching child pornography, someone is getting hurt. And maybe he's not doing it directly, but he is enjoying someone else's pain, specifically a child.
Sure. Sure.
So,
okay. Well, how many stars would you?
I give this one a 4 out of 5.
Okay. Okay. I'd go a notch above it at a 4, like 4.5.
Why are you
and a half.
Trying to one up me on this?
It's not. It's. Oh, I'm sure. No, because we're going to episode 4 now. So, I know you. I know already you like that one more than.
Oh,
I do,
yeah.
So.
I mean, I know it was kind of a play on kind of Vanilla Sky in some aspects. Basically, you could choose to exist eternally in a lucid dream, or as long as those
Right.
servers last. But
right.
I thought it was a fun love story. I thought it was unexpected. It was fun. It felt heartfelt. That mm-hmm. even the twist when you find out that, like, Yorkie was really gonna die in 3 months, as insinuated at the beginning, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. she was only getting married so that she could, you know, finally pass over. Mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, I love the 80s, I love the soundtrack, I love the 80s like wardrobe montage when she's like trying to meet Kelly for the second time.
Right, right.
I didn't really know if I liked Kelly's guilt of, you know, why it's kind of like in the theme of, like, why mm-hmm. do I deserve to be happy when other people around me have been so sad, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I like, because I agree with all his points, and I did like the sort of the setup of it, and I loved when you kind of figure it out what the quagmire represents. But I think this is one where, like, the landing again didn't work for me because, for one thing, again, a little bit too long, way too much time spent with the old versions of them, which I think is actually the least compelling part of it. You know, I'm curious what you thought of the ending, because to me, sort of a lot of it hinges on that, which is me and my friends were right after it finished, we were sort of thinking, like, is this happy or is this sad, right? And we were going back and forth on it. Where did you fall on that?
I thought the ending was happy. I mean, I think a lot of us hope for some sort of existence post-death, and what's better than, like, you know, living in a utopia with someone you love, especially when you lived your whole life, you know, without that, and you, wow, like, as I'm dying, in Yorkie's case, she finally, you know, has found acceptance and is able to actually be with someone.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, in a way it is happy, but it's somewhat artificial because, you know, it's not really, like, happening. This isn't real life. This is all happening in a virtual space. So it does feel kind of, I don't know if that kind of makes it feel a little bit more empty.
Well, no, but let me ask you, but what did you think the show was trying to say specifically? Because I think there's a lot of contrary cues. I mean, they drive off in the distance and the music's really happy and it's sort of like love will be forever. But we know, obviously, right, because the next shot is they're just this dot on a little server, right? So we know that already. And the second thing is we know that a place like the Quagmire exists there, which means that, you know, it's sort of like the vampire problem, right? It's the classic vampire problem. Vampires are sad because after so many years of being alive, like, the progress of living is gone, you know, sort of you've plateaued in infinitely, right? And the show definitely touches on that, right? I mean, because the Quagmire wouldn't be there if it weren't. And yet the end, I think the only positive reading would be to think that their love is going to last forever, which I don't know if I buy. And if the show is saying that, it really doesn't work for me.
I didn't know if the Quagmire was really necessary to be shown. Like, if the entire episode had been, like, 45 minutes, they could have cut all the Quagmire out.
Well, but it depends what they're trying to say with it, right? Because the quagmire is a suggestion that it's like people want to live, but they don't really know why, and they don't know what's like to what, for what purpose, right? And the quagmire is somehow another chance to masturbate, basically, right? I mean, to me, it almost feels like the suggestion is they're addicted to living, and then for the Kelly character, like she's had a long life, she's had a very complicated life, but for York, who was robbed of a chance, it's actually like a pretty good deal, you know. But for them as a couple, I don't know, and I think it's a really nice setup for, you know, for the thought of thinking about like what immortality should be. Because I mean, if you remember, it was in the mm-hmm. special that John Hamm does. It's sort of a similar thing, right, where they keep someone's consciousness alive, and it's a form of torture to keep their consciousness alive indefinitely, right, like for decades or whatever, like 100 years.
No one else that they encounter seems to have any kind of, or seems to show like any sort of idea of they don't want to go on, and I'm sure there's a way to exit if you really wanted to, you know, leave and just actually, you know, die or go to heaven part two now that you've like been a San Junipero. But like I took this one as more of less dark and more like maybe it's, you know, technology can give you some relief even if it is not real.
I guess philosophically, like let's assume that's, you know, that's what the show is saying. I so fundamentally disagree with that like I can't abide by that as a conceit, because seeing that sort of the idea of perfect to me, I mean everything in my life and everything suggests to me that the beauty of life is in the sort of the climb and in the struggle, right? And the satisfaction that comes from getting what you want is fleeting, you know, but it's like the hope of something better, and being able to live with that is sometimes better than achieving. There was this Twilight Zone episode about a criminal who gets, he's robbing a jewelry store, and then he dies, or he gets shot down mm-hmm. by cops, and he wakes up and an angel or someone from the, you know, from the afterlife comes and takes him and is like, he's like, oh, hey, you know, you want to play cards? And he goes and he plays cards and he wins all the money. And then he takes him to, I think, a brothel, and he has the most beautiful woman, and like he takes him to all these places, and everything goes well for this guy, like everything. After a while, like he can't lose at anything. He gets what he wants all the time, and the end of it, he basically says something like, you know, I can't, like, how can this be heaven? You know, like I don't understand it. I feel so empty inside, and that, you know, and that's the big reveal in that episode, is the angel's like, oh, you're not in heaven, you're in hell, you know. And the idea that, like, yeah, you've plateaued. There is nothing to strive for. And that is the sweetest part of living, you know. And so sort of like having, you know, when I see them drive away, to me the sort of implied suggestion is at some point they're going to get sick of each other. At some point, you know, the majesty of all this is gonna drift away. Mm-hmm. So if they're stuck there, that's a really sad ending to me. But if they have some way out, you know.
Well, I mean, to that point, I mean, I'm always a person who believes that, like, you know, with a spoonful of sugar, like, so Yorkie has lived, like, all of her life, you know, as a, you know, paralyzed, you know. Vegetable, so, I mean, yeah. In that way, she's mm-hmm. already paid yeah. for her pain in life and deserves to have, you know, maybe they fall out of love. Maybe they, you know, break up, whatever. Maybe one of them sneaks off to the quagmire sometimes at night. But, I mean, they deserve, you know, I like to think that mm-hmm. she's going to get, you know, some time of happiness before mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, things go awry again. I mean, I don't think this place is without any kind of conflict. I think people still argue. I'm sure there's still feelings get hurt, but I think the idea is more that you can continue to exist without physical pain, but I'm sure you can still experience emotional, as we see by the guy who, like, Kelly dumps, you know, he's very upset about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think it's closer to real life than, like, you know, it isn't all just sunshine and rainbows all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. I still think you can be sad, just not in physical pain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how many stars for you?
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Okay. I'm gonna give it a nice 3.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm not taking it too personal. All right, and let's move into episode 5, Minigun's Fire, probably one of the most, like, on-the-nose episodes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't... Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, and then I also didn't, because I felt like there was a lot of, well, like you mentioned, they wanted to do the theme of kind of, like, a classic kind of, like, war movie. So, of course, you have, like, the kind of, butch lesbian who's like one of the guys who has a real foul mouth. Like I found her really insufferable and super annoying. Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, overall I liked the concept. I feel like, especially in this current age where we have so much war going on and where a lot of people kind of find it easy to write them off as others, I just felt like the whole roaches thing was just definitely too, like, too literal, you know?
Yeah, they could have called them something else, right? Or made it sort of seem like they're, just calling them roaches seemed specifically sort of gross, you know, in a way that, like it felt like very 90s to me, you know?
Yeah, I wish they would have had more, like, synonyms that they use interchangeably. I think they use the term monster at some point, and that's basically it.
And you see it coming right away almost, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, so it was obvious. I was like, okay, these are obviously just people. Like, it's the one thing I did like is kind of a question that I had once talked about, like, in a biology class about how humans aren't currently evolving the same way animals do, like, naturally, because we keep each other alive longer. Like, if you're sick, well, we have medicine to keep you alive. You can have more kids. You can pass the sickness on. So kind of in a way, we're inhibiting ourselves from truly evolving. So what if one day we just decided, you know, everyone was, like, HIV or everyone was some kind of other contagious disease, we just killed them? Like, would we just be better as a species? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the – I wish they had delved more into that.
Into the eugenics aspect of it?
Because I think it was more interesting and more complex of an issue than just, like, the whole blatant war mentality.
Right. So, you know, this one, even though it was so on the nose and kind of obvious, I liked the central question of it a lot. So I liked it more than some of the other episodes. But I think it's sort of, it's definitely lacking. It's definitely like, like him, you know, by the end of it, when he decides to sort of, he willingly decides to forget everything that happened, as he's imagining this beautiful house and he's standing in front of this kind of junker. I found that to be kind of compelling, just like in terms of using technology to make sort of the lowest rungs of our society feel okay where they are. You know, I like that central premise, because he's like a poor dude, right, starting out, and you can liken that to a lot of how our military works today, right? In fact. How it uses a lot of people, right?
The exploitation. I mean, certainly.
The exploitation of it. Yeah. So I enjoyed it a lot, but I think maybe touching on the eugenics would actually be, because the way it's played out, it feels like the eugenics is just like they're wrong, like they're just wrong about it. And I think to your point, it would be more interesting if they suggested like maybe this would be an actual, solution to something, right? Which really complicates matters, right? But maybe it would make the episodes a little bit more.
Well, I think what makes it also it's not sold as hard as the fact that when they go to that village, these people don't really seem that much better off. Like that I don't see anyone that looks like incredibly healthy, or like that it's worth all this effort. You know, so I wish we could have seen more of, like, you know, at least, hey, we're killing a lot of people, but look. Everyone's doing great out here. I don't know. We never get to see that. So I think that's why it felt like that gets lost.
And I also don't buy that you need to do that to certain humans to get them to commit awful crimes, right? Because, like, we've already been having that, you know? Would they not have been able to train him to hate, you know, the whoever the faction of the roaches are at some point, you know? That's why, again, like, it's... I don't know if the episode works for me totally, but I like the questions that it brings up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I see. I also, one shot that actually probably my favorite of this entire season is when he, like, wakes up from his dream. You know, kind of they're all programmed to have, like, some, like, erotic dream. Mm-hmm, and I, yeah. And he wakes up and everyone's just like, it's like a hive. They're all like sleeping and kind of twitching and just kind of like, he sits up and you see just the rows of bunks. I really love that shot. I think it really made him reflect on like, who's really the roach here. You know, we're the people living like insects right now.
Yeah, totally.
I think it would have been, yeah, nice to explore the eugenics more. I mean, maybe I, also, why do you need to kill everyone? Why can't you just like, you know, sterilize everyone and just let them continue? Like, there's no
Why the just, urgency? You know, eugenics feels like such a primitive older philosophy, I think, to us, that it's hard to imagine it in a futuristic space like this, like with this technology. It's hard to imagine that's what they would use this kind of technology.
Yeah, exactly. For, I don't think you're just gonna shoot them. Like, there just seems to be a better just. Why don't you just put them all on an island? Just let them live that way, and just it just seems like not a the most practical way to solve this problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this one feels like it was a very good, like it was a really easy pitch to make, you know, but without really knowing exactly what they wanted to get out of it.
Well, out of 5 stars, what would you rate this one?
I'd say this one was also like I'd give it like a 3.
I'd also give it a 3.
Okay.
Finally agree on something here. Okay.
Oh no, I said 3.5.
No, are you willing to give it an extra half? Firm on that 3.
Okay.
Okay, let's move into our last episode 6, Hated in the Nation.
Last one. Mm-hmm. I didn't recognize that it was the Waif. I knew her from somewhere, but I couldn't put it together who she was until I saw her.
Yeah, I recognize her. I'd actually seen her on a talk show, so I think it was easier for me to recognize her with like normal hair and not like the little haircut that she has. But Faye Morrissey. Great. I mean, I like this episode. Again, too long. And the Khan from Marco Polo was also in this episode. There's a lot of familiar faces, for sure. And I think the main actress was in Trainspotting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's in, it's Kelly MacDonald. She's in a lot of stuff. Yeah, she's
also in really Boardwalk Empire.
I mean, she was the wife in No Country for Old Men.
She was also in Harry Potter. Yeah, she was Nanny McPhee. Sorry, she was in a lot of stuff. I just Googled her. Okay, so anyways. Yeah.
No, she's a big actress.
This episode I had the most problems with as far as plot. Just because, so we know that bees are going extinct, so it'll probably have some kind of mechanical bee in the future. Cool, I see, like how they made that tie-in.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool idea. Totally,
I thought it was cool that they had the whole, like, you know, death2 hashtag. That you could kind of, you know, if the public hated someone enough and they all agreed that this person was evil enough, they would be killed. I didn't like the twist at the end that the people who used it died. Why? Because they wanted a bad person to die? And many of them probably didn't really know the rules. Like, some of them might have just retweeted it, just thinking like, yeah, death to him, but not knowing it was actually a real thing. I'm just saying.
That's not as much of a gripe for me, just because, I kind of bought the idea that this guy does all this because he gets so upset and hurt by what happened to his friend, right? His coworker, the woman who sort of brings him into the picture. I mean, my assumption was he's in love with her and that's why he does all this, which is like, you know, thematically this episode was the closest to the first one of the Prime Minister. You know, from season 1 of the Prime Minister sleeping with a pig, right? And it's sort of like a rogue person using technology to hold the country hostage. And I think it would have worked if it were shorter. And I mean, the way it ends up, it feels more like a backdoor pilot to like a future
cop show. Oh my God,
show.
Yes. At the end when she was like, I really would have liked if her partner paid, had actually killed herself, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Why, you know, what are we doing there? Is that because I ultimately, in a way, I don't find him to be so evil, right? Like, he is this sort of, he's like an agent of chaos, but it's a chaos that is already in society, and he's merely sort of taking it to its logical conclusion.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, I just felt like the ending just felt like a very much like, you know, when you sit through the credits at the end of a movie, and like, it's just like that last scene that could lead to that sequel, like you mentioned. I just like, why are we doing this? I really wish it just would have ended in that courtroom. Yeah. We just could have left it there.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the beat, look, everything kind of works, except, like, I just couldn't get past, I mean, I can stop laughing when I see people, you know, these actors waving their arms at these fake mechanical bees, and they, you know what I mean? Like, there's just something so silly about murder by robot bees. Cool. That I think the tone of the whole episode, and yeah, how she's sitting there crying in court, and then they go to that warehouse, and there's just thousands of bodies, and then you remember, like, oh yeah, all these people were killed by robot bees, you know, and it just kind of doesn't, the seriousness of it really, really drops off for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think also, too, like, when they move that, the tourist who might be killed by bees, I'm like, they don't take any actual precautionary measures. Why are you bringing her to a house in the middle of nowhere? Like, these are mechanical bees. Just put her in a fucking government-sealed room. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you have a lot more plot problems, or, like, the decision-making of the, you know, whatever. They, whatever production limitations they had or whatnot. Also, she's like a regular person. They're not going to put her in a bunker like they did with the president.
Maybe,
I guess,
not a bunker,
you know?
But
I mean,
just put her in. I mean, the storage units they put on trains are super cheap. Just put her in one of those things for a day. Call it, like, what? I don't know. I was just really upset. So I was like, this just seems,
yeah,
like cop work 101.
I mean, I like, you know, the start of it really worked for me, and I was into it for a while, but then, I'd say once it really started centering on the bees, I it was just too funny, you know, because, like, you know that they're special effects, and it's just people waving in the air, and, you know, it reminded me of Nicolas Cage in The Wicker Man. Not the bees, not the bees, you know, like,
there's,
I just, I couldn't,
a movie about,
like,
killer,
I couldn't
bees
get that in my head.
There is, I think it was made in the 90s. Like, it's basically, like, they're attracted to loud noises.
Oh, I'm
so,
sure.
So, like, a couple, like, honks a horn and all the bees come and kill them. It's, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, but the, like, you know, the thing you brought up about bees, what, you know, they're dying off. I mean, so it's like a, it's potent. I mean, it's smart. It's like a smart, it's really well thought out, I think, overall, you know?
And that's as far as their thinking
it
went,
just,
this episode.
It was just kind of too long. Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, though, like, if you told me that this was a TV show about cops who are just in the kind of distant future where they don't know about every technology necessarily, and, like, they're coming across certain things where, you know, in general, crime and law enforcement are always sort of competing to get their technology ahead of the other one, right? So there's something cool about that. But as a Black Mirror episode, and also, you know, I don't, I think there is something, again, it's another indictment on your virtual self versus your real one, right? And, like, how you can say mean shit and you control, and, you know, you see guys who leave horrible comments to women that they would probably never say in person, right? Or just people in general, right? To celebrities and people, to athletes, you know, whatever. And there are things that you would never say in person, right? But we just feel like we can because it's distant. You know, there's a digital wall in between.
Yes, but I mean, it's different when you say, like, these, like, people who are being bullies and, like, you know, being malicious. But when you're just, like, when it is someone who is a, like, an asshole who kind of deserves a little bit of negative energy going their way. I mean, it was hard for me to really feel like those people who tweeted something needed to die. When the other people who are making way worse comments, who just happen to not be using that hashtag, are fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that just seems, it just seems unfair. It doesn't seem to be, like, I don't know. His whole manifesto was about, like, how your words should have some kind of consequence. And I'm like, yeah, but what about everyone else who still has no consequence in what they say? Like, I don't know. It frustrated me. I didn't want that t-shirt to die. I didn't want that t-shirt to die, basically.
But you mean beyond that hashtag?
I'm just saying,
or,
like, if you're going to impose some sort of, like, social media justice, I want to see it actually applied as you claim you want it to be, not just a way to screw over people you ask to support you.
No, but I think that's a bit of a misread, right? Because, like, the show is using like an emotional, vengeful guy to act out a possible horrible version of kind of what people already do, mm-hmm. right? So he's he's done. He's not doing it again. This isn't like a broader thing. He planned this one thing out, and he gets, he should get away with it, I think, but if it weren't for that last scene, I would say he does
also
get away
with it. Also, wait, why didn't he die? Just wouldn't he have used the hashtag at some point?
No, I don't think he does. Someone uses it on him, right? The other detective who then gets killed.
I remember that. Well,
he creates the hashtag. Like, he's, he creates it, but then he doesn't actually use it because he's got this whole plan.
I mean, okay, if you had to rate this one, what would you give it?
I think I'd probably give it a 4.
4? I'm going to say a 3. So yeah. 3. Yeah, but overall, I'd give this season probably like a 3.75. Okay.
You're really, really splitting your stars.
Yeah, I didn't put any rules into this, so you can split your stars however you want. Okay, but yeah, I mean, overall, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Is there going to be a next one? Is that?
I mean, I'm assuming based on how everyone. What the plan is? I mean, based on the amount of money they spent hiring these people, the kind of celebrities they did, I'm sure there'll be another one.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think they're worth making.
Well, and I also think that like a lot of people are going to view it as like a rite of passage to be like, I did a cameo in Black Mirror. I think it's like waiting until they get Jennifer Lawrence into one,
It's funny how that's turned around, right? Because, I mean, just referencing Twilight Zone, I mean, that's where actors went before they made it big. And now we're in this this new world where big stars are getting credibility for being on these kind of shows. And so it's interesting. It's interesting how that flipped.
Yeah, right on. Well, thank you for doing this podcast with me.
Thank you for having me.
Brought to you by technology.
Well, I now, after episode 4, I always cover up the camera on my, so you'll never see me ever.
Letters to the people the camera trying to block on my... Greg, you have to find another way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Okay, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'll...
Yeah. My crimes are different, but just to be totally secure, I'm just making sure that nothing can be recorded. Also, what else came out recently? The trailer. I didn't see the movie, but Snowden. There's this really intense moment when he's having sex with his girlfriend, and then he looks up and he sees his laptop, and he freaks out and runs over to it. So maybe there's something to that.
No one wants to see that Snowden sex tape. So I think he's safe from anyone ever using that against him. But my camera's not covered, whatever. Over it all. Okay. Well, awesome. Thanks so much, Greg. I'll catch you next time. Cool. All right.